Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey everyone, if we haven't met, my name is Daniel. Today we're going to continue our message series we're calling Five Reasons Why. And today we're going to talk about five reasons why we can trust the Bible. But before we jump into our message, I want to tell you some good news. For the past 2 weeks, we've been challenging you to financially support Pregnancy Problem House, a great organization that supports teens, women, and couples when they unexpectedly fall pregnant in the midst of challenging circumstances. And support you did. Collectively, you gave a total of $5,465.81. To those of you who've given, thank you so much. I want to tell you how important your giving is. And I literally just found out about this. The board of the Pregnancy Problem House were actually considering closing down the Langford facility because they couldn't afford to pay rent. But last week, they had a meeting, and due to our support and an unusual grant of $3,000 from the Shire, they decided to renew the lease for the Langford facility for another 12 months. Praise God! How good is that? Because of your giving, you literally make a difference to a lot of families and their babies that are yet to be born. So thank you again, and God bless you for your generosity. If you haven't got a chance to give or you forgot, there's still a chance for you to make a difference. You can simply go to therocks.info and choose the giving tab. Okay, now back to our regular programming. Five reasons why we can trust the Bible. Before we look at reason number one, first of all, some of you might not know that the Bible is not just one book. It's actually a collection of books and letters. 39 books written before Jesus was born, we call it the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, and 27 books written after Jesus was born, we call it the New Testament. Now, what makes people doubt the Bible is that it makes some pretty extraordinary claims about a lot of things that sound outrageous. Even though the Bible was written by human authors, it claims to be inspired by God. It claims to be alive and powerful. The New Testament, for example, claims that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It claims that Jesus performed many miracles, including walking on water, changing water into wine, healing the sick. And then he was crucified on the cross. He was buried. And after 3 days, he rose again from the dead and then appeared to his disciples and many other people afterwards. And this same Jesus says that God loves sinners and wants to have a relationship with them. Oh, whether you're a Christian or not, I think you can agree with me that these claims are pretty outrageous. If you don't believe the Bible is true, I respect that. But what if there is a possibility that the Bible is true? What if it really is that powerful that it can change your life, not only now, but for eternity? Then what? Are you 100% confident that the Bible is wrong? Have you looked at all the evidence? All I'm saying is, before you dismiss the Bible, at least look at the reasons why you should believe it. And if you are a Christian, you're not off the hook either. How do you know that the Bible is true? All those favorite verses of yours that give you hope, how do you know it's God's word? It's not enough for you to just say, oh, because the Bible says so. So today, I'm going to give you five reasons why we can trust the Bible. Reason number one is accuracy. The Bible has been copied amazingly accurately. Why is this important? I don't know if you know, but none of the original Bible manuscripts have survived. So how do we know that the Bible we have today is accurate? How do we know that when we read the Gospels, for example, that what we read is really what Matthew wrote or what John wrote? What about the Old Testament? They're even older. How do we know that what we read today has been accurately copied over the centuries? Now, we're not trying to prove that the Bible is God's word yet. We're just trying to prove that the Bible we have in our hands is accurately copied and transmitted. One of the principles for testing a document's validity is what textual critics call bibliographical evidence. And there are two rules for determining the accuracy of an ancient document. Number one, number of copies available. And number two, the time span. the more copies available that can be compared to be the same, the more likely it is to be accurate. And the shorter the time span between the date the document was written and the date the earliest copies were made, the more accurate the document. For example, say I wrote a love letter to my wife Hulda, and the original letter got lost. Let's pretend we don't have photocopiers or cameras or iPhones. Thankfully, because my love letter was so good, it's been copied and recopied by hand many times over by some of the husbands to write to their own wives. Say some copies were dated to be the year 2025 and some the year 2045. Which copies are more likely to be accurate? The year 2025, of course. Why? Because they are closer to the actual time when I wrote the letter. So let's take a look at some of the more famous ancient documents: Plato, Julius Caesar, and Homer. Plato wrote the Republic about 400 BC, and the earliest copy we have is AD 900. That's a time span of about 1,300 years between the time of the original writing and the earliest copy found, and only 7 copies are available. Julius Caesar wrote Gallic Wars around 100 BC, and the earliest copy we have is also around AD 900. That's a little bit better, but still a time span of 1,000 years, and only 10 copies exist. Homer wrote his Iliad in 800 BC, and the earliest copy we have is 400 BC. That's a time span of only 400 years, and we have 643 copies. And of all of the copies, they are about 95% accurate. In other words, no one doubts the accuracy of these documents. So, let's apply the same criteria to the New Testament. The New Testament was written between AD 40 to 100. The earliest copy we have, a papyrus fragment known as P52, is from AD 130, a time span of only 30 years, and we have over 24,000 copies available, and they're about 99.5% accurate to one another. And the 0.5% of the textual variants are mostly spelling and grammatical differences. What about the Old Testament? Until recently, the oldest Old Testament manuscripts available to us were dated only as far back as about 900 AD. The Old Testament was completed in 400 BC. That's a time span of 1,300 years. So, how do we know the Old Testament manuscripts were really meticulously copied? Thank God for the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947, where a lot of ancient Hebrew manuscripts were found in the caves near the Dead Sea in a community called Qumran. Get this. These manuscripts were at least 1,000 years older than any previously known portions of every Old Testament book except for one. And when the texts of the Dead Sea Scrolls were compared with the newer and much younger manuscripts, they are found to be 95% identical. That's amazing. And these textual variants are so insignificant that they do not change the message of the Bible in any meaningful way. So, is the Bible accurate? Well, if you apply the same criteria to other ancient manuscripts, it is obvious that the Bible, without exaggeration and without rival, is the most accurately preserved and verified documents of the ancient world. If we compare the number of Bible manuscripts to other ancient literary works, the Bible far outweighs them in both quantity and quality. So when you pick up any English Bible today, you can be confident that what you read is what the original authors wrote. But just because the Bible has been copied and transmitted accurately, it doesn't mean that its message is reliable. So, is the Bible reliable when it comes to its historical truthfulness? That's the second reason why we can trust the Bible. The Bible is reliable historically. Now, why is this important? It's important because the Bible makes a lot of claims about God, about the afterlife, about spiritual matters that we have no way of checking whether they're true. So if we can't even trust that the Bible is reliable with regards to people, places, historical events, customs, that we can cross-check if they're true, how can we trust what the Bible claims about things that are spiritual in nature that we cannot be sure of? So we have to be able to prove that the Bible is reliable when it comes to all the historical information that it mentions. And historical accounts indeed prove that the Bible is 100% reliable historically. Many secular historical accounts independently recorded the same people, the same events, the same geography, the same custom as recorded in the Bible. Luke, a medical doctor who gave us the Gospel of Luke, wrote his reason for writing his Gospel in Luke chapter 1. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Notice the words, many people wrote about what happened to Jesus. Eyewitness reports, carefully investigated everything, accurate account. So the Bible is not some fairy tale that some people wrote to fool people. They were eyewitnesses that could easily refute what the biblical authors wrote if they were not true. Because they were written so close to the actual events, there were many witnesses who were still alive to confirm or deny what they wrote. Respected historian Sir William Ramsay wrote this concerning Luke's ability as a historian. He concluded after 30 years of study that Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, this author should be placed along with the very greatest of historians. But if you are still reluctant to believe that what the Bible says is reliable, we have many independent, non-biblical testimony that corroborates many of the biblical historicity. Like the Roman historian Tacitus, who reported on Emperor Nero's decision to blame the Christian for the fire that had destroyed Rome in AD 64. He wrote, "Nero fastened the guilt on a class hated for their abominations called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of Pontius Pilate." These names confirmed what Luke wrote as a matter of history. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and so on. Amazing details! But perhaps the most remarkable reference to Jesus outside the Bible can be found in the writing of Josephus, a first century Jewish historian who was not a Christian. On two occasions in his Jewish antiquities, he mentions Jesus. In the Testimonium Flavianum, the relevant portion declares this, "About this time, there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he wrought surprising feats. He was the Christ. When Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day, he appeared, restored to life, and the tribe of Christians has not disappeared." So, the extra-biblical accounts confirm the historical events mentioned in the Bible. If that's not enough for you, one test we can use to see if the biblical authors are telling the truth is called the honesty test. It looks to see if the authors wrote anything embarrassing about themselves. Because if they did, it means they were more concerned about reporting truth than recording an awesome biography about them. Because if they want to lie about Jesus, why not make up a lie that makes them look good, right? So, does the Bible record anything embarrassing? Plenty. Jesus called Peter Satan. You wouldn't include that if you're trying to make things up. At the Garden of Gethsemane, they failed Jesus big time by falling asleep when they should have been watching. When Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified, they abandoned their best friend Jesus in a heartbeat. Then Peter denies Jesus three times, pretending he didn't know him. So my point is, if you lied about what you reported, you would remove all those embarrassing stories from your report. You see, all of these reasons point to the undeniable fact that the Bible is historically reliable. But don't take my word for it. You go and check it out for yourself. The third reason why we can trust the Bible is motivational reason. Motivationally, the biblical authors have no reason to lie. Motivation is actually a good test to see if the biblical authors were telling the truth. According to homicide detective J. Warner Wallace, there are only three reasons why people would commit a crime or lie about something. One, financial greed. Two, sexual or relational lust. Or three, pursuit of power. Now, if the New Testament authors had lied about what they wrote, it should be for those three reasons. It's for financial greed, relational lust, or pursuit of power. Let's see what the New Testament writers get for what they did. First, all of the disciples except for John died horrible deaths for their faith. Second, they didn't get any girlfriends or wives out of this. And they were not in power, nor were they interested in power. If anything, it's the opposite. The Apostle Paul, for example, used to have power before he believed in Jesus. He was one of the leaders in the Jewish ruling circle, but he gave up all that. He even died beheaded for his faith. Why do all that for a lie? If all these disciples were lying about their experiences with Jesus, why would they die for a lie? All they had to do was renounce their faith. So, they had no motive for lying. That's why, motivationally speaking, the Bible is trustworthy, extremely reliable, because there were no ulterior motives for the biblical writers to lie. Okay, say you believe that the Bible has been transmitted to us accurately and is reliable with regards to all the information historically. That still doesn't prove that the Bible is the Word of God. How can we trust that the Bible is the Word of God? The final two reasons are, to me, the evidence that we can trust the Bible to be the Word of God. The fourth reason why we can trust the Bible is the impossible miracle stories, especially the amazing fulfillment of biblical prophecies and the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus. Christian apologist Josh McDowell wrote, "The Old Testament, written over a 1,000-year period, contains nearly 300 references to the coming Messiah. All of these were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and they establish a solid confirmation of his credentials as Messiah." So, let's look at some of these amazing prophecies around the birth of Christ as the Messiah or the Savior. The Messiah was to be born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. The Messiah was to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus was descended from all three. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Messiah was to come from the tribe of Judah. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. The Messiah was to come from the line of Jesse. Jesus came from the line of Jesse. The Messiah was to come from the house of David. Jesus came from the house of David. Men from the east would present the Messiah with gifts. Men from the east presented Jesus with gifts. Children would be murdered around the coming of the Messiah. Herod massacred the innocent children of Bethlehem to try to prevent Jesus from growing to adulthood. And these are just prophecies about Jesus' birth. There are also many other prophecies about his coming to Jerusalem on a donkey, his crucifixion, his resurrection. It's just unbelievable. According to probability, these eight prophecies that we've just listed, each originally given several hundred years before their fulfillment, for them to come true in a single person is beyond the realm of statistical probability. The fingerprints of God are all over the birth of Jesus Christ. He was God's Messiah, and the Bible is God's inspired word. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is another amazing evidence. How so? If the resurrection is a true historical event, then that is a major miracle. No one has ever come back from the dead. And if Jesus had really come back from the dead, as he predicted, it is likely that everything he said about God, about the afterlife, is also true. So, is the resurrection a real historical event? Simon Greenleaf thought so. Who was Simon Greenleaf? Simon Greenleaf was an agnostic, some say atheist, who believed the resurrection of Jesus Christ was either a hoax or a myth. No stranger to truth and to the proof of the truth, Greenleaf was a principal founder of the Harvard Law School and a world-renowned expert on evidence. Challenged by one of his students one day to consider the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Greenleaf set out to disprove it, but he ended up concluding that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was indeed fact, not fiction. Being a man of conviction and reason, and in accordance with his conclusions, Greenleaf converted from agnosticism to Christianity. Simon Greenleaf's most famous apologetic is an essay entitled Testimony of the Evangelist Examined by the Rules of Evidence Administered in Courts of Justice. There, Greenleaf applied the evidentiary rules of his day to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and concluded that the admissible evidence admitted thereby was sufficient to prove in any fair court of law that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was indeed fact, not hoax, myth, or fiction, and that the most plausible, the most reasonable conclusion to be drawn therefrom was that Jesus Christ not only lived and died, but that he rose again from the grave. If you can prove that Jesus rose from the dead, we can trust the Bible to be trustworthy. Finally, the reason why we can trust the Bible to be God's Word is its life-transforming power. Let me give you one example and then we're done. This week, we lost one of the world's greatest minds in Dr. Ravi Zacharias. If you're skeptical about Christianity, I dare you to listen to any one of his talk. At the age of 17, he tried to commit suicide by swallowing poison. While he was in the hospital, a local Christian worker brought him a Bible and told his mother to read to him from John 14, which contains Jesus' word to Thomas. Ravi said it was John 14:19 that touched him as the defining paradigm. Because I live, you also will live. And that, he thought, this may be my only hope, a new way of living life as defined by the author of life. He committed his life to Christ, praying, Jesus, if you are one who gives life as it is meant to be, I want it. Please get me out of this hospital bed well, and I promise I will leave no stone unturned in my pursuit of truth. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. The Bible has changed the lives of murderers, drug addicts, business people, lawyers, doctors, scientists, students, just to name a few. No other book can make such a claim. This is because the Bible is not just a book on good living, but it is literally packed with power. It is the Word of God with the power to change lives. So, what difference does the Bible make? The Bible is crazy, but it is trustworthy. You can check it for yourself. It's more than just a book. It's a love letter from God to you. He used human authors to speak to us and touch our hearts so that we can know Him. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. God wants to tell us that He loves us. And how do we know that? By looking at the cross of Jesus. We are sinners deserving of death, but Jesus died anyway, so we can spend eternity with Him. Why should you believe the Bible? Because it is accurate, it is reliable, it is supported by history, archaeology, and prophecy, and it points us to the truth. And the truth is, God loves you. So I want to challenge you, whether you're a Christian or not, to read your Bible, trust in its transforming power, because God wants to change your life for the better, not only to bless your life, but to bless others around you as well. Next week, we're going to continue our series, 5 Reasons Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. It's going to be fantastic. So I want you to share this video, invite your friends to join us next week. Hey, that brings us to the end of our gathering. I want to close us with a word of prayer, and I want to pray a prayer of blessings for you and your family as well. If you have the faith to receive it, it is a custom in our church to open our hands. There's nothing magical about it, but it's a sign of our dependence on God. Why don't we pray together? Father God, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you that our faith is not just a leap in the dark. Thank you that our faith has a solid ground in history, in archaeology, in everything else that we can check. Father, thank you that you are trustworthy. Help us to learn to love your word, because your word is a love letter to us, and it has an amazing power to transform all of our lives. I pray for those who want to know you better, that you will reveal yourself more and more to them. Right now, receive this prayer of blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and your family right now until Christ comes again, even forevermore. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.